Welcome. This is Ekana Day Unplugged, and it is March 14th, 2017. I am Ann Picker, Ekana Day's chief economist, and with me today are Jeremy Hawkins in London and Mark Pender in the U.S. We have a full agenda of market-moving events this week. Mark, the FOMC meeting has finally arrived, but key data continue to pour in and will do so for the rest of the week.
Well, let's start with that key data. It's Tuesday morning. We had producer prices where we had 0.3% monthly headlines across central readings, which doesn't sound like much, but for the PPI, this is quite a lot. And underscores that inflation right now is running right about at full inflation. We talk about full employment. Which the economy is already at. Well, we very well may be already at full inflation. It just seems like a question of time whether we pop right through 2% on the Fed's central reading, which is the PCE index. It seems almost certain that the Fed will be raising their overnight rate by a quarter point with tomorrow's announcement. They really can't avoid not doing it. Treasury rates have really been moving. Short-term rates have been moving over the last couple of weeks to cycle highs. That is for economic or for financial indicators, short rates are really the place to look for Fed policy, much less so for something like the stock market, where higher rates can be interpreted as a sign of expectations of improved or a rising economic demand and higher profits. And so there's a lot of noise in other readings, but not these readings. We at the same time, we'll get a significant indicators tomorrow, Wednesday, and that will be retail sales, which aren't expected to show much life, however. And then also the CPI, which based on today's PPI, could definitely exceed expectations. And last week, of course, we had a very, very strong employment report, and underscoring really interesting dichotomy, I think, in the economy right now. There's, confidence readings are very, very high, extraordinarily high, both for consumer confidence and for business confidence. And now we have businesses hiring, which is another sign of significant confidence, actually probably the most important sign of all. However, when you look at the actual business and numbers for business investment or actual consumer spending, these are still lagging. We have yet to see a pop in these. I guess it's just a question of time. We still have to find out. But it's interesting that we're getting really building in now, baking into the cake, expectations for significant economic improvement. And if we do get a rate hike, or when we do, I think an important subtext for tomorrow's statement will be what are the expectations for rate hikes through the year. These have varied. Janet Yellen has talked about two, maybe. She's mentioned that. Perhaps the overall expectation is three rate hikes for the rest of the year. If we get hawkish language, tomorrow's report will also include FOMC forecasts and Janet Yellen's press conference. If these are are also hawkish, then we may raise those expectations to maybe perhaps four rate hikes. And I think that underneath all this is a institutional conflict between Federal Reserve policy, which is really to hold in inflation at this point, and the policy of the administration, which is to increase economic pace. This separation has not really been highlighted yet, but perhaps we can begin to see this institutional, which I believe is an institutional conflict, will begin to appear. It's a very interesting time right now for the economy.
Mark, it seems there'll be a point of interest tomorrow with the Fed forecasts will be how they account for fiscal policy, which they still don't really have a handle on.
Well, that's exactly right. And they're waiting to for the tax, the possible changes or very likely changes to tax policy to unfold, a new stimulus, whatever the immediate or the short-term effects of deregulation could be. These are all unknowns. And so far the Federal Reserve has been, as an institution, holding back. They want to see what exactly will unfold. But it's interesting, you know, the Republicans have Washington right now, which the Democrats never did. So that would really, I think, point to the likelihood that more of Trump's proposals are going to be implemented than less. But this isn't really underscored or underlined yet by the Fed. And you'll see it, I think, tomorrow when Janet Yellen takes questions. I think that however transparent and thinking ahead she will be on other topics, I think when it comes to the very, very important topic of fiscal stimulus, I think there'll be a veil that she'll pull right over.
Jeremy? Markets in Europe appear to be dominated by political events rather than economic events at the moment. You have a whole plate full of political events. Can you give us a quick summary?
Yeah, sure. I mean, as you say, it's really sort of policy and politics here, and certainly the policy side of things is a lot easier to call. With regard to politics, though, well, what have we got? In terms of Brexit, we now have the European withdrawal bill has been passed through Parliament here, which ostensibly gives the Prime Minister her open letter to push the Brexit button as and whenever she wants to. The latest coming out of Downing Street on that front is she will push the button by the end of this month, but we haven't got a precise time for that yet. But basically, it's in line with the timetable she's been pushing for some considerable while now. But yes, it does mean that by the end of this month, the end of this quarter, the official negotiations to take the UK out of the European Union will have started. Now, that's been complicated by a new call from a Scottish First Minister to hold a second referendum, independence referendum in Scotland. That's Nicola Sturgeon, and she's pushing for the second referendum to take place between autumn next year and spring 2019. She wants to do that, of course, because at that stage, the UK itself will still be part of the European Union. But it's really the last complication that the current UK government wants when it's trying to extricate itself from the European Union in the first place. So it seems as if Mrs. May will probably say, no, we're not prepared to allow a referendum to take place yet. And it's down to Westminster to actually give the nod to this thing. So there's going to be some really fractious discussions taking place in the House of Westminster between the two sides over what's actually going to happen to Scotland's position. I suppose more generally than that, with regards to Europe, the big focus on the political front this week will be Wednesday's Dutch elections. Normally, it's got to be said, it's not exactly a big market mover. But this time round, of course, it's somewhat different. And I think investors will be looking at the results here as some sort of benchmark or, you know, a litmus test of the apparent tide of populism that's sweeping across Europe at the moment and just how entrenched it's become. So without going through all the umpteen parties involved in this, the key focus here will be the performance of Geert Wilders' anti-Euro Party for Freedom, the so-called PVV. The latest opinion polls, and we may not trust them anymore, but they're suggesting that this party has fallen back quite significantly over the course of the last few months. But there's always a chance, of course, that they could do well. Were that to happen, it's certainly getting investors concerned about the outcome of the upcoming presidential elections in France due next month. And of course, the big elections in Germany scheduled for September the 24th. So keep an eye on that one, because it's going to have ramifications for Eurozone financial markets and the currency as well. I'll quickly just mention the policy meetings this week, or there's not too much to look for there. Bank of England and the Swiss National Bank meet on Thursday. They're not expected to see deliver any kind of change in policy at all. Of one note I should mention with regards to the UK, the Bank of England's MPC, there will though be a change in composition with one of the deputy governors, Charlotte Hogg, the new deputy governor for markets and banking. She's just tendered her resignation, so the chances are we'll be one short and just eight members voting on Thursday.
Jeremy, can I interrupt?
Yeah, please.
What was the thing with Hogg? What happened?
Well, that came down to a Treasury Select Committee interview, which took place earlier on this week. And it emerged that some information that Ms. Hogg should have given to the Treasury Select Committee was not actually produced at the correct time, which meant that it's been deemed that it was not appropriate action for her to be holding a Bank of England position at that kind of level. So she's essentially been forced to stand down. So she will have to be replaced, but it does mean, say, for the time being, there will only be eight members on the MPC board. I suppose really with regards to policy, we also have a Bank of Japan meeting this week. So, Anne, what's going on there?
Well, strangely enough, or not so strangely, the BOJ will announce its policy decision the same night as the Fed, Eastern Time U.S., namely Wednesday night, and it will follow the Fed decision. Traders will be listening very carefully, however, since no policy change is anticipated, to the BOJ chair of Kuroda's post-meeting press conference for policy clues going forward. Well, they have a kind of interesting position since they've been fighting inflation for so long. The January core CPI, excluding fresh food, edged into policy positive territory for the first time in a year and a half. Elsewhere, machine orders, except volatile ones, such as ships and power plants, continues to dry rate month to month. This time they dropped 3.2% after increasing a revised 2.1% in December. This is a very important release because it's considered a proxy for capital expenditures. So there by no means is a handle here on what is going on. It just gyrates. In Australia, the labor market report is due Thursday morning local time, and traders will be looking at the breakdown, especially between full-time and part-time employment growth. Part-time has definitely had an edge lately, and much to the consternation of the Reserve Bank of Australia. But on the other hand, the RBA has indicated that its policy will remain unchanged. So investors will be looking to validate that opinion.
Anne, can I ask you a quick one about going back to the BOJ? Obviously, everyone's looking for the Fed to tighten this week. Do you think that will have any medium or longer term implications for the stance of BOJ policy with regards to targeting the yield curve?
Not immediately. I think they will continue to target the yield curve. They have little else to target. Any other move would probably be a tightening, which they don't need now with just 0.1% inflation on a year-on-year basis. Thank you, guys. Till next week.